This morning, our sermon text comes from John chapter 16, verses 25 through 33. And so let me begin by reading from God's holy, inspired, inerrant word that we have the privilege of sitting under this morning. I've said these things to you in figures of speech. The hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figures of speech, but will tell you plainly about the Father. In that day you will ask in my name. And I do not say to you that I will ask the Father on your behalf, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. I came from the Father and have come into the world, and now I am leaving the world and going to the Father. His disciples said, "Ah, now you are speaking plainly and not using figurative speech. Now we know that you know all things and do not need anyone to question you. This is why we believe that you came from God." Jesus answered them, "Do you now believe? Behold, the hour is coming, indeed it has come, when you will be scattered, each to his own home, and will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me. I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart. I have overcome the world." Let us pray. Oh, gracious Father, we thank you for your word to us. Lord, we thank you that you are a God who has also sent your Spirit to indwell us. And so, Holy Spirit, we pray that you would continue your work of sealing the love of the Father upon our hearts this morning. Teach us, instruct us, convict us, and invite us more and more to know you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I wonder if you have a vivid memory of a loved one's departure. I'm going to guess that we all have some kind of memory of a departure. Perhaps you have had loved ones who have come to visit only to see them leave at the airport after their time is over. Perhaps you have a teen or are a teen leaving home and you're seeking further education or work, employment. It could be a goodbye before leaving on an extended work trip. And even friends leaving for the mission field. We've all faced departures in some form or another. And they're hard, aren't they? We don't like to say goodbye. Likewise, departures often require preparation. A parent knows what it is to try to prepare their children for the time where they will leave home and be independent and live outside the home. A visitor knows what it is to pack their bags in preparation for the journey home. And I say this because it helps us to understand something of the dynamic that we see going on between Jesus and his disciples in this passage. By way of context, Jesus is beginning to prepare his disciples for the day of his departure. Jesus was about to be arrested and later crucified, and after that he would rise again and he would go and ascend to be with the Father. And so he's preparing his disciples for the events that were to unfold. And he says, I'm gonna leave you and I'm gonna be with the Father. And in the wake of that, you're about to have a severe case of separation anxiety, as it were. You will be filled with sorrow. Indeed, even as I talk of these things, I sense you filling with sorrow. Your beloved Lord, leader, teacher, friend, and guide was about to be gone from their sight. And it would seem as though all of their hopes and dreams and aspirations would go with him. How can we be joyful, or what purpose is there for us if the Savior of the world comes to dwell among us only then to just pack up and leave? That was the essence of the disciples' question. That was what Jesus was preparing them for. And it was a very important question. And I think we do well to listen to Jesus' message here, because we know that oftentimes words of departure from loved ones are words that are most precious to them. You know, they're words that they want us to be left with. And so Jesus, like any loving mentor or friend, prepares his disciples by giving them a message of hope. So what was that message? Well, the message Jesus leaves his disciples with is that a better situation would come in his absence. He reassures his followers that his intent was not to forsake them, but to further benefit them. Because in the wake of his death and resurrection and ascension and absence from the world, he would send the Holy Spirit as their helper. And so Jesus is saying here, I am leaving because I'm going to the Father. But in doing so, I will send the Spirit, and that'll be a game changer for you. And so it's a benefit to you that I go. And so this morning, there are three things that I want to look at this morning in light of the sending of the Spirit. Three things that apply to followers of Jesus because of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, because of Jesus' departure and sending of the Spirit. Jesus said to his followers that his departure would be a cause for joy, and this source of joy would not be taken away from any who received it. And so we're given, firstly, a knowledge of the Father. Second, the privilege to ask of the Father. And then third, an experience of the Father's peace. First, a knowledge of the Father. Jesus would send the Spirit to have us gain a greater knowledge of the Father. We see that verse 25. He says, "The hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figures of speech, but will tell you plainly about the Father." Now, why is that important? Well, we see the answer to that partly in verse 1 of chapter 16. There were people who were prepared to do evil things, thinking that they were offering service to God. Yet Jesus says they only do so because they have no knowledge of the Father. There have always been those throughout the history of the world who are quite happy to attach God's name to their ambitions and to have a strong conviction that what they are doing is actually serving him, when in reality they are furthering the cause of evil. And Jesus explains this by saying that such works are carried out due to a lack of knowledge of the Father and of himself. And so right away we see how practical it is to have a right knowledge of God. It's the difference between advancing evil or righteousness. How crucial it is to have a right knowledge of the Father and of Jesus. Seminary professor Steve Childers elaborates on this importance, saying this. He says, "The reason having a proper view of God is so critically important in your life and ministry is because it is so easy to unknowingly be pursuing the kingdom and not the king, pursuing the truth of God and not the God of truth, using God to solve your problems rather than using your problems to find God." In other words, if you're not consciously fighting against it, you are at risk of falling prey to pursuing the grace of God and not the God of grace. Here is why we need a right view of the Father and of Jesus Christ: to know him. And so this astonishingly good news begins with Jesus telling his disciples that the Father would come to be known plainly in the sending of the Spirit, something that would only increase with his coming. Now, this plain knowledge of a deity was quite different to many in Jesus' day. There was a widespread ancient belief that when people prayed to God or sought him, they could add these specially crafted nonsensical utterings so as to try to win over his favor. A favor only available to a few who had this special craft. And yet Jesus here is saying the opposite. He's saying here that the Father, far from being vague or mysterious or requiring some excellence in oratory, would be known plainly. And so it's a precious gift to have been given a plain knowledge of the Father. To enjoy the fact that Christ has been enthroned in heaven and since then has given us his Spirit to give us increased revelation through his apostles, plainness of speech that we might know more of the Father, to know more of his heart toward us, the plans and purposes he has for us, to know his mission. We ought to prize such revelation. So I'd encourage us, let us be searchers of the Scriptures, that we would be given a greater acquaintance with the Father, that we might know and seek to be more fully known by him and to know him more, to know and prize the truth concerning him. That's the first thing. But then we also see that with the coming of the Spirit, there is the blessed ability to ask of the Father. That's our second point. Jesus tells his disciples that when the Holy Spirit comes, they themselves will enjoy communion with the Father in his love. Verse 26, in that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I will ask the Father on your behalf, for the Father himself loves you. Jesus says, you will ask the Father. You will be able to do it. In that day, you won't need to come to me to ask him for you. With the coming of the Spirit, you won't need to line up to beside me to ask things of the Father. You will be able to do it yourself. What a most precious gift of access. I remember as a child having times when I would go over to a friend's house to play. And during the course of the stay, there would inevitably be times when I would have desires that I wanted fulfilled. And one of those particular desires was to ride on my friend's dad's four-wheel motorbike. My friend lived on a sheep farm, and I loved riding on his dad's bike through all the pastures and fields with my friend together. But what I would do in that case is that I would go to my friend, and I would have him ask his father if we could take a ride on the bike. Now, why did I do this? Well, because my lack of confidence preferred that he be the one who asked his dad. You see, I had no doubt that my friend's father loved him as his son and often was likely to answer his requests. But I had no confidence that his father loved me. And therefore, I wasn't inclined to want to ask him directly for anything. My requests to his father were always through my friend as his son. And this is the way that many tend to think of their relationship to the Heavenly Father. There are those who would say, well, hang on, the Father doesn't really love us in and of ourselves. He only loves Jesus and us because of Jesus' atonement. And so the Father is therefore often looked on as being angry and full of wrath, and the Son looked on with gratitude. And yet that's wrong. Jesus says here, the Father himself loves you. In John 3:16 we read, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. In other words, it's because God set his love upon you and I that he sent Christ to satisfy his holy, just, and righteous requirements. His wrath against sin. It's because of the Father's love for you that he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ. It's because of his love for you that he sent his Spirit to indwell you and to seal this reality of love upon your hearts. Oh, that such love would be further etched in and inscribed upon our hearts, as we are likewise graven on his heart. And so we read in 1 John 4 that the Father's love always comes first. In this is love, not that we have loved the Father, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Friends, the Father himself loves you. And so now through Christ, our elder brother, we have been given unlimited access to the Father and his love. Communication lines are always open. The ability to commune with the maker of the heavens and earth, the one who has all power. All we need to do is ask. It's that simple. It's as simple as a child is able to do it. The door of access is opened. A new and living way has been granted to us through his flesh. And so we may say that Jesus came to give us the status of sonship, but the Spirit was sent to give us the experience of sonship, so that we not only know the truth of the Father, but that we enjoy precious access to him. There's much that we miss out on when we fail to be people who humbly come before the Father and ask. And so this morning, are you in need of spiritual strength? Ask the Father for a hunger and a thirst for him, that you'd be nourished and satisfied by his favor. Are you in need of new mercies for the day ahead? Ask the Father for patience and for the need you have at hand. Do you desire greater holiness in speech, in your thoughts and actions? Ask the Father that he would give you moral virtue, and yet only by way of a growing reliance upon him. Are you concerned to be a witness to him in your life? Ask the Father for joy in him, the fruits of his Spirit, and open doors to speak. The Father's invitation is simply this, that we come to him and we ask of him in Jesus' name. Friends, let this be a comfort to us, that even though we are often slow to come and ask of the Father, knowing that our faith is often fickle, knowing that we are prone to self-sufficiency, that even though this be the case, Jesus would have our hearts be inclined to the Father by reminding us that the Father himself loves you. Clearly, Jesus knew our struggles. For he said, which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good things to those who ask him? So Jesus' concern was to smash to pieces any hard thoughts that we might have toward our heavenly Father and his intentions toward us, and in so doing, soften our hearts to his generosity. As you know, children are not shy of asking, are they? Our boys are of the age where they're continually asking for things. So it's you know, Dad, can I have this? Dad, can you build this with me? Dad, can you push me on this toy? Continually asking. There's a reason why Jesus teaches us that to enter the kingdom of heaven, we must become like little children. Children are reliant upon others, especially their parents. And he would have us also be reliant upon our heavenly Father. This too is why he sent us the Spirit. Now, there are certainly times when our boys will ask for something, and Stacy and I, having given a decision on what we think is best, we'll tell them to stop asking for a particular thing. But we'd never tell them to stop asking in general. There are times when the Father, in his wisdom, chooses not to answer our requests in the way that would perhaps like him to, with our earthly limited wisdom. And yet, that being said, the overwhelming emphasis of Scripture is of God granting the requests of his children when they come asking in Christ's name. And so ask and ask and ask again, offering up your desires to God as a child does their parent. Heaven is at hand in the asking. Yes, we come to the Father in Christ's name. Yes, that is based on the perfect merit of Christ. But we come to the Father as those who are loved by him. And so we may come to him with confidence and full assurance of faith. Indeed, what gracious provision this is. We read, "He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things?" Oh, what a great and precious blessing it is to be those who may ask of the Father, to have access to him, to have fellowship with him and his love, to be a witness to his kind and generous provision in this world. And so by the Spirit, we're given a knowledge of the Father. We're given the privilege of asking the Father, which then leads to the third and final point. By the Spirit, we receive an experience of the Father's peace. Jesus tells his disciples that they will experience tribulation in the world, that the hour would come when they would scatter and they would leave him all alone. They were about to desert him in his greatest time of need. And so Jesus says, in effect, storms are coming, and they're going to shake you, and yet in me you may have peace. And this Hebrew word here for a tribulation means to narrow or to compress. It gives this idea of maybe situations where one might feel constrained, where the feeling like there's no way out. And yet Jesus says, in me you may have peace. This kind of peace is given to us in him. It doesn't come from being in the world. It comes from being in him. If we want peace, we must look for it in him. I'm reminded of the reality of this peace in the midst of storms at a vacation spot we go to in upstate New York, a place called Lake George. The water is very clear there, and when snorkeling or swimming, you look down on the water and you can see quite a long way down into the depths. But there have been a few times when storms have come up. The wind has really picked up, and there are mountains on either side, the Adirondacks, and the wind just blows through like the corridor of the lake and just whips it up. It's all choppy and rough. And yet, when swimming underneath the water, you'd never know it. As long as you're deep enough, everything is still calm and at peace. And I think that's the kind of peace Jesus is saying is on offer in our hearts by the Spirit. In the world, we may experience many forms of tribulations and trials. We need to be able to acknowledge that and to be prepared for that. And yet, we have hope in the midst of the fray. I'm not sure what kind of turbulence or storms you've faced in your life or are currently facing. Perhaps it's a particular situation that has you feeling out of control. As has been mentioned this morning, conflict around us. Perhaps it's grief over decisions that are made by those in authority. Perhaps the pressures are more personal. As a father, often to my disappointment, There are many things I can't do for my children that can cause distress. I can't be with them in every disappointment or hurt. I can't be with them in every trial or grief. I can't be with them whenever guilt plagues them, or when the devil tempts them, or even when their own hearts condemn them. And yet I'm comforted by the fact that Jesus knew this. He has overcome the world. Because although we can't love grace into a child, or faith into a friend, although we can't love others into heaven, even though we might try and give all that we have, the Spirit can. The Spirit's work is always efficacious. For the Spirit testifies to our spirit that such change has been done for us. Indeed, we have been loved into covenant. He loves grace into us, loves us into heaven. Because the Spirit has been given to us, we have fellowship with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. They are always with us. And so there are many things the world may try to throw at you. And yet they cannot take away from you the Father's love. It cannot take away from you the Father's acceptance of you. It cannot take away from you the home He has prepared for you, or eternity with Him that awaits you. Indeed, Christ Jesus is also present to us spiritually. As Martin Luther said, at this point in time, Christ is present to some. And to others, He is to come. To all who believe, He is present. But to those who are yet to believe, He is to come. Is Christ present to you spiritually? Or is He someone who is merely to come? That's why Jesus sent the Spirit that will transform your world and your life. Pray that we would see a great stirring of people who are given such faith. Oh, what a joy and comfort it is that Jesus was pleased to give us a gift and sending of the Spirit. Access to the Father and the Son, fellowship in their love, joy and peace in their presence. Indeed, able to say with Jesus that even if all others were to depart, even if we be all alone, yet even then we are not alone. For our God is with us, even unto death. In me, Jesus says, you will have peace. And peace we have been given. Amen. Let's pray. Oh, Father, you know how even I have wept this week, being humbled again by the precious nature of your love. Father, we thank you for your gracious care and comfort and provision and the giving of your Spirit. Oh, Lord, we pray that you would continue to give us Spirit-wrought faith to not only access but enjoy these precious realities and gifts that you have given to us and through your Son. Father, we thank you for your love. Your love that has sought us out, your love that has lifted us up, your love that continues to abide in us. Oh, Father, help us to abide in that love. So we pray that we'd be agents of that love into a world that, even as we've been reminded today, is in need of such love. We pray and we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.